Good morning, church family. Sarah and I are so excited to be here with you, to fellowship with you, to update you concerning our ministry. You've supported our ministry now for many, many years, and we're so grateful to you and to the Lord for that. We were here exactly this time 2 years ago, so it's good to be back and to share with you once again. We have a number of these brochures in the hall during the lunch, and it basically gives you an update of our ministry. It tells you a little bit of our history. It tells you a little bit about our present ministry and then our future plans as well. There's lots of pictures in here as well, and we'd love for you to take one of these brochures away with you to read through that, to pray for us, and to continue supporting us financially. But we'd also love for you to come. It's a long ways away, 30 hours to fly to South Africa. It's the ends of the earth, and we're called to go to the ends of the earth. So there's an opportunity for you. And we're so thankful that, for our 25th celebration, July last year, we were able to have Scott, Gay, and Alan join us. And that was fantastic, and I'm sure they shared their experience with you. But we'd love for you to come. There's a team that is going down in July this year, coming back to South Africa. So if you'd like to know more, then please speak to me after the service, and I'd love to share more information with you. But we've been around in the U.S. now for about 3 weeks already. Our total stay is going to be around 50 days, so a long time away from home. So do pray for the ministry back home. It's in good hands, but do pray that the Lord will keep it going. There's many churches that we've visited already. There's many old friends that we visited and updated. But the idea is also to make new friends as well. So we're going to quite a few new churches, meeting new friends, and encouraging them to think about our ministry and support and come visit. So thank you very much for allowing us to come this Sunday. We pray that the Lord will give us a wonderful time of fellowship with you, and that we'll be able to share our hearts and to share our ministry with you. So do join us for the lunch and come speak to Sarah and I, and we'd love to share with you as much as possible. We've recorded a wonderful video of our children together with some of our churches, our international churches, doing a music video, singing a fusion song. Of an English song and one of the black languages in South Africa. So don't miss that. It's only 4 minutes long, but it's wonderful to see and to listen to the song. So please join us for the lunch if you can. We're going to turn to God's Word right now, and we're looking at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 3. So it'll be helpful if you have your Bibles open with you. Running the Christian race, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 3. This is what the writer says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, that is Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We'll read thus far. Well, let's ask God to help us as we hear his word. Our Father, we come to the hearing of your word. We pray, Lord, that we would quieten our hearts. We would forget about the busyness of our lives for just a moment, and we will give your word our full and undivided attention. Lord, we pray that your word, the good seed, may fall on good soil this morning and bear fruit, much fruit in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. And we know, Lord, that you want to speak to us by your Spirit. And so, Lord, as you spoke to these Christians many, many years ago through this letter, so by your Spirit you want to speak to us this morning as well. And so we say, like the prophet Samuel, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, how many of you here are marathon runners, or at least runners? Anyone do some running? One or two of you? We were in Irvine the other day, and one of the friends we're living with there took me on a cycle tour. It's been 30 years since I last got on a bicycle, and I struggled. But I saw many, many people running. Lots of parks down there, lots of tracks for people and trails for people to run on. And it's a running culture. And in South Africa, we have a marathon called the Comrades. Maybe you've heard of it. It's a 55-mile race. So something like from here to Los Angeles, I think. It's about 55 miles. Can you imagine running that race? A 55-mile race between two cities. And every year, thousands of athletes from all around the world, not just South Africa, but from all around the world, compete. Some of them, realistically, hoping to cross the finish line first. They're professional athletes. They train every single day, and they come to the race so that they can finish first. Others who run in the Comrades just want to complete the race. That's all. It's not about finishing first for them. It's about just completing the race. Now, sadly, many of the thousands who compete don't finish the race. They don't cross the finish line. They begin the race with great determination. But it's a challenging race. It's a tough race. It's a difficult race. There are many, many steep hills they need to run up. There are many, many steep downhills that they need to run down. 55 miles of just running, it's tough. It's tough on the mind, it's tough on the body, and so some of them give up. And some of them don't run fast enough. Even though they're running with determination, they don't make it to the end line because there is a cutoff time. And when we watch it on TV, we see literally hundreds running towards the finish line, and they could be just feet away from the finish line, but the organizers at a specific point, at a specific time, will take a rope across the finish line to say, well, that's the end of the race. And some people are literally just feet away, but they don't make it because they've never made the time. Now, of course, marathons and race runnings are not only just a modern-day activity, for even in the New Testament days, athletes would participate in marathons. They would participate in running races. Therefore, the writer of the Hebrews here is able to use the analogy of a race to speak about the Christian life. The Apostle Paul did that many a times, and you can pick that up later on in your own personal quiet time. Maybe just go to a concordance or Google the word race in the New Testament, and you see many, many times the Apostle Paul uses the analogy of the race. But here, the writer to the Hebrews picks up on this analogy to speak about the Christian life as a race. And so this morning, as we look at this passage, I want to draw your attention to six truths. Six truths we need to learn this morning concerning the Christian race or the Christian life as a race. Now, firstly, we need to remember that every race has a starting and an end point. That's how a race is. That's how a race is made up. There must be a starting point. There must be a finish point. The Christian life, the Christian race also has a starting point and an end point. You see, my brother, my sister, the Christian race begins at one's conversion. The day you and I say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the day our spiritual eyes are opened and we say, I want you, Lord Jesus, to be my Lord and my Savior. The day we experience the new birth, that is our conversion. And that, my brother, my sister, is the starting of our Christian life, our Christian race. Before that, we were not running. And it ends at our glorification. It ends when you and I stand before the Lord Jesus one day and He says to you and I, you have crossed the finish line. Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And how we long to hear those words, my brother, my sister. But in the meantime, you and I are still running. And we are at different stages of the Christian race. There may be some here this morning who are new believers. You've just begun to run the Christian race. There may be some here who have been believers for just a few years. And maybe you are somewhere in the middle running the Christian race. There are some here this morning who are mature Christians for many, many years. And maybe you are coming towards the end of the Christian race. But if you're a Christian this morning, then you are running this race. It begins at your conversion and it will end at your glorification when we see Jesus face to face. But if you are not a Christian, then you are not running the race. And I trust, my brother, my sister, that by the end of the service, the Lord would have spoken to you and you would have been convicted in your heart and you will say to yourself, but I want to run this race. I want to be involved in this Christian race. And the only way you can do that is by bowing your heart, bowing your knee to the Lord Jesus and saying to Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and I want you to be my master. And asking God to come and live in your heart by His Holy Spirit and then living for Him, and then you begin to run the race. I wonder this morning, how are you and I doing in the race? How's your race right now? The Christian race has a starting point, it has an end point. Well, secondly, this morning we learn from our passage that the Christian race is run on a marked out route. Have a look there again at verse 1. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You see, it's a race that is marked out for us. It's on a marked out route. Now, I don't run very much. I used to when I was in school, but I gave that up a long, long time ago. But to run a successful race would mean running on a marked out route. Isn't that true? Can you imagine someone taking part in a competitive race like a marathon maybe, or the Olympics or whatever it may be? And can you imagine an athlete running with great determination, looking in front of him and there's no other athletes there, looking behind him and there's no one there, and he's thinking to himself, I am doing well, I am in the lead, I'm going to win this race, only to realize that he ran on the wrong route. He didn't run on the marked out route. And my brother, my sister, even if that person ran a record-breaking time, it would not count. It would make no difference whatsoever because he ran the wrong route. And so for the Christian life running this race, we're going to run on the route that God has marked out for us. That's the route that you and I run. We don't make up our own routes. We don't decide the route that we need to run. We don't say to God, well, I don't think your route is a good route. Google tells me that this route is better. Let me run that route. No, my brother, my sister, we run on the route that God has marked out for us. And the Lord Jesus reminds us where the starting point of this route is. Listen to what he says in Matthew 7:13. Enter through the narrow gate. That's the starting point. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. That's where the route begins. Enter through the narrow gate. And Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the door. We enter through the Lord Jesus. Many, many go and look at this gate and they say, but it's too narrow. They look ahead at the route and say, but it's too difficult. There's not many, many people on that route, so maybe it's not the right route. They look at the other route and say, well, it's broad, it's easy. It's all downhill to run. There are many, many running on it. Let me run that route. Because, well, lots of people can't be wrong. So let me follow them. And they run on the wrong route. My brother, my sister, we got to go to the narrow gate. Jesus is the gate. There is no other gate. You see, the sad reality is that there are many in our world today running a race that is called religion. They run with passion. They run with commitment. They run with determination. By the end of the day, they realize that they are running on the wrong course. My brother, my sister, this morning as you and I run, we go to run on the marked out route, the route that God has marked out for you and I. The question then to ask ourselves is, well, how do I know that I'm running on the right route? That would be important, right? If we're running for some time, we want to make sure that we're running on the right route. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves and realize, listen, I've been on the wrong route. I need to go back. A lot of time has been spent running on this route, but it's not the right route. So how do I know as a Christian this morning that I am running on the right route? That's an important question. Well, one of the route markers to look out for, like we were coming from Irvine, we kept looking out for the 101 North. We kept looking out for Ventura, just to make sure we don't finish off in San Diego. You got to follow the right route. You got to look at the markers. So how do you and I know as a Christian from this passage that we are running on the right route? Well, I believe from this passage, one of the key markers that we are to look for is suffering for the sake of the gospel. Because we are reminded here that the Lord Jesus suffered. And if you and I call ourselves Christians, which means to be a follower of Christ, then there will be times in our lives where we will suffer for the sake of the gospel. And that suffering may come in various degrees. In school, the children may not want to associate with us because we're a Christian. At work, people may despise us. Our family may despise us and so on. The world is so anti-Christ at the moment, my brother, my sister. And they despise us. They hate us for being Christian. In many parts of the world, Christians are being persecuted right now. Christians are being beheaded, they've been killed right now in many parts of the world. Suffering for the sake of the gospel. We face opposition like Jesus faced opposition. And he says, do not grow weary, do not lose heart. This morning, if you and I are running on the right route, then we will experience some kind of opposition for the sake of the gospel. Our friends, our family members, work colleagues may not want to associate with us. People will say, but you're crazy to be a Christian. And that's suffering for the sake of the gospel. If you're not suffering for the sake of the gospel, yes, well, that suffering might still come. It might still come as you seek to live your life for the Lord Jesus. But that's a key root marker to look out that we pick up from this passage. There are many other root markers that we can pick up from other passages. But we will experience suffering for the sake of the gospel, and we are not to grow weary, not to lose heart. You know, many, many laws are being changed, especially in South Africa right now. I'm pretty sure here as well. Making it difficult to be a Christian. I heard recently that in the UK, a new law has been passed that's now considered hate speech, John 3:16. So if you say to someone, for God so loved the world, that person then can challenge you. You go to court, you go to jail. Someone just went to jail. You put up a bumper sticker on your car and you say, John 3:16, God so loved the world, that's considered hate speech. You go to jail. Well, what's going to mean for us being Christians in our homes, in our workplace, in our schools? We're going to start suffering for the sake of the gospel. And when that comes, what do? How do we respond? Do we turn back and say this is too tough? Or do we go ahead and say, well, that's what we expected because our Lord Jesus suffered. And so we are to suffer as well. And so firstly, the Christian race has a start point and end point. Conversion, glorification. The Christian race is run on a marked out route, not just any route. Thirdly, we are reminded this morning that the Christian race can be completed. Maybe you're getting discouraged right now, but the Christian race can be completed. How do we know this? Well, we find the answer here in the text, again, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, who is this great cloud of witnesses? Well, the answer, the key there is in the word therefore, chapter 12, verse 1, because it's speaking about something that was previous, which is chapter 11, which is a great chapter of faith. Giving us a description of men and women, heroes of faith, who trusted God as they walked with God. When difficult times came, they still trusted in God. And these are the great cloud of witnesses. And this cloud of witnesses encourages us. They remind us that the race can be run because they have run it. They have run it, and they say to you and I, the race can be run. Continue running. Don't give up. You may have a family member, a loved one who passed away, who knew the Lord Jesus, who walked close with the Lord, and you know right now that person is with the Lord in glory. My dad is one of those persons who passed away a few years ago, and I know that he's with the Lord in glory. And he's probably part of this great cloud of witnesses who is there to encourage me that the race can be run. It is a tough race, yes. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, take up your cross daily and follow me. It's not a bed of roses. It's a tough race, but it can be run. So, my brother, my sister, the next time you feel like giving up in this race, remember those who have run before you and I. There's a whole list of them in chapter 11. Remember your family, your friends who knew the Lord, who are with the Lord. The race can be run. We can cross the finish line. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. I press on. I don't give up. I continue to run. the Christian race can be completed. You may be somewhere in your life right now running this race. Maybe you feel as if it's time to give up. It's time to turn back. No one knows your struggles. No one knows your hardships. You cry out before the Lord day in, day out, and it seems as if God is not hearing you, and you're saying to yourself right now, I want to give up. My brother, my sister, may I encourage you this morning, don't give up. Don't give up. Look to the Lord Jesus, and we'll see this right now. Get up on your feet and keep on running. Even if it's just taking one step in front of the other step, we're moving forward. The idea is to move forward. That old hymn that we sing, Onward Christian Soldier, never says backward Christian soldier, onward. We're moving forward. Let's move forward. Let's keep moving forward one step at a time, moving forward to the end goal. Well, fourthly this morning, the Christian race requires preparedness. You can't just pitch up on a day of a marathon and say, listen, I'm going to run 55 miles and I'm hoping to come first. Not going to work. Requires preparedness. Verse 1 again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. And you can underline that. Let us throw off everything that hinders. You see, it's something that must be actively done. It doesn't fall off itself. We got to do it. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Every top athlete, or even every athlete, knows the value of preparedness. You got to be prepared. You got to condition your body for that race. With this in mind, we are commanded here to throw off everything that hinders. We've got to throw it off. Now, it's very interesting to note that in the days of the New Testament, athletes used to train with weights strapped onto their body, onto their ankle, heavy weights. They used to train with it for perseverance. But when they ran the actual race, they threw off those weights. Because if they ran with those weights on them, well, they wouldn't do very well. They need to throw it off because it was a hindrance to them in the actual race. Likewise, we need to throw off everything that will hinder us from running this race. Well, the question then is, what do we throw off? What are some of the things that will hinder us in this Christian race? And I believe the Apostle Paul is helpful here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Listen to what he says. It's a well-known passage. We all know this. He says, put to death, put off, or throw off. All of those words can be used there. Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived before you began the race. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. You see that? We've got to throw those things off. They are part of our sinful nature. And we still have that sinful nature. And there's always this battle between our sinful nature and the nature of God's Spirit that lives within us. And if we want to run a successful race, we've got to throw those things off. We've got to crucify those things every single day, because they are a hindrance for us to run the race effectively. Throw them off. We don't need them as we run this race. I wonder how you are doing with that this morning, my brother, my sister. Are you running with some of those weights from your sinful nature that's hindering you and I from running this race? Well, then God says, throw them off. get rid of them because they are an hindrance. Well, fifthly, as we move on, the Christian race is run by faith. It is run by faith. Verse 1 again. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And underline that word, the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The Christian race is run by faith. I believe here in the mind of the apostle, of whoever wrote this letter, the sin that so easily entangles is the sin of unbelief. And this here is a reflection on Israel when they came out of Egypt to the promised land. They never believed that God was able to lead them through the desert to the promised land. They were grumbling and complaining the very day they came out. Egypt was better. It was better for us to rather die there than to die here in the wilderness. Egypt, we had good food to eat. We had good water to drink. Here we have nothing. Here we have the Red Sea in front of us. Did you bring us out here so that we may die there? Grumbling, complaining, the sin of unbelief, a mind which says that God is not able to accomplish in my life that which he has promised to do. Do you know people like that? Or maybe you are saying that in your heart. A mind which says that God is not able to accomplish in my life that which he has promised to do. I don't believe God is able to do it for me. I don't believe that God can meet this need of mine. It's just too big for him. How is he able to meet such a big need in my life? God is not able. A sin of unbelief. A mind that says my problems are too big for God to solve. A mind that is tossed about because of doubt. We are filled with doubt in our hearts. We're reminded here that Jesus is the author and the perfecter or the finisher of faith. And this race is run by faith. We don't even see the roots. It's like Abraham, he never saw the roots, but God said, go, and Abraham went. God says to you and I, run on this marked out route, and we need to run by faith. Well, where does that faith come from? It comes from God himself. He is the author of faith. He is the perfecter of faith. Why do many, many people not run this race? Well, it's because God hasn't given them the faith yet to run this race. And so pray for them that God may open their spiritual eyes so that they may have faith to run this race. My brother, my sister, we need to run by faith. Someone once prayed a prayer, a very dangerous prayer to pray. Lord, increase my faith. It's a good prayer. It's a dangerous prayer. Because the only way God can increase your faith is through problems, is through difficulties, is through challenges. That's when your faith grows. And in this race, we will have many, many of those difficulties and challenges. And our faith will grow. And you can testify to that in your own life, I believe, my brother, my sister, how you have come through challenges in your walk with the Lord and you continue to run. The Christian race is run by faith. Well, sixthly and lastly, the Christian race requires perseverance. Verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Why does he say that? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart is because we are prone to getting weary and losing heart. He says, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The Christian race requires perseverance. It is the race that is run on the narrow road with many challenges, creating much temptation for us to give up in the difficult times. It is a race that is marked by suffering and opposition as we carry our cross and walk in the footsteps of Jesus. But it is a race that requires us to have a firm fix on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. The idea here of fixing is to have your full gaze upon the Lord Jesus. You must be glued to the Lord Jesus. What that means is that you must not be distracted by looking right, by looking left. There must be no distractions. If you look at those distractions like the Apostle Peter did, you begin to sink. But in this race, we fix our eyes on Jesus because that is our end goal. Our end goal is to be with the Lord Jesus. And we don't look elsewhere. As you run, look at that finish line, look at the Lord Jesus, and run. Run with determination, run with perseverance, my brother, my sister. So many in our world today are trying to run the race, but their heads are like a bobblehead. It's looking all over the place, all over the place. Maybe I should look there. Maybe I should look here. Maybe I should look behind me. And they forget to look at Jesus. In this world that we are living in the cultures of our world as it changes, we're going to be pulled by the temptations of this world to look here. People are going to say to us, look here, see what I can offer you. This is an easy option. But my brother, my sister, we must never give in to those temptations. We fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus. If you follow in the footsteps of Jesus, we will get to where Jesus is. That stands to reason, right? You follow in the footsteps of Jesus, you'll get to where Jesus is. So let's do that. Let's do that as we run this race. Let me wrap up with this verse, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And this is something we all want to be said about us as well. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing, you and I. So let's run this race, my brother, my sister, fixing our eye on the Lord Jesus. So as we wrap up, how are you doing in this race? Are you struggling right now? Well, turn to the Lord. Maybe your gaze is slightly off Jesus. Bring it back to Jesus. Make sure he's front and center all the time. Maybe you're someone here this morning who has not even began this race. You know nothing about this race. Yes, you've been coming to church on a regular basis, but you haven't really committed your life to the Lord Jesus. You haven't really said yes to Jesus. You think you're running the race, but you're not. Then my brother, my sister, if you are that person right now, then I trust that in the quietness of your heart, you will say to the Lord Jesus, I want to start running this race. Won't you help me to do that? Won't you come and live in my heart by your Spirit so that I may begin? My brother, my sister, we all look forward to crossing the line, don't we? We all look forward to that. We all look forward to those wonderful words, well done, good and faithful servant. And so we say like the Apostle John, come, Lord Jesus, come. We either see him first or he comes first. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Friends, we're going to respond to this in the quietness of your hearts right now as you bow before the Lord. Just talk to him right now in the quietness of your heart. And then I'm going to ask for the elders to come up to the front and we're going to partake in communion this morning. It reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his death for you and I, so that we could actually run the race. But in the quiet of your own hearts, come before the Lord. If God has spoken to you this morning and you need to make right with him, won't you do that right now? Let's not worry about the person next to us or what somebody else thinks about us. Let's say, Lord, I want to make right with you this morning. Or, Lord, help me in this race. Or, Lord, I want to even start running this race. It's between you and God this morning. Won't you come before him as the elders come up? Communion reminds us of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and I. Gave his life for you and I. The elements are going to be passed around. If you can grab one of them and just keep them so that we can partake together. Friends, the bread and the juice are mainly symbols. There's no power in them, but they point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body that is broken for you." Let's eat this morning, remembering Jesus. And likewise, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink. This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, shed for the forgiveness of your sins." Let's drink and be thankful. Our Father, we thank you for the great reminder from your word this morning concerning the Christian race. We want to run this race. We want to run it well. We don't want to be sidetracked, distracted. We don't want to lose heart and become weary. Help us, we pray, to cross over the finish line. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you, Lord, for the great remembrance this morning that you gave your very life for us. Help us, Lord, to give our all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.